Tonight we're going to do a piece of Nefesh HaChaim and get into some quite serious Kabbalah ideas, but ideas that are also very practical and ideas that we can use. Those of you who've got a Nefesh HaChaim, I'm going to be giving you some information from Perek Yud Tet of Shar Aleph, and then we'll learn Perek Chof, the 20th Perek. What's interesting here is that, and I've spoken to some of you at various different shiurim about the interest the world is currently showing in the whole area of energies. And it's quite interesting, just as the world went through its stage of being fascinated with psychology and the subconscious in the time of Freud and so on, and then there was a period of aligning that, of examining that in light of Torah, how much of what science was doing in the area of the subconscious and advanced psychology at that time was aligned with Torah, and what that alignment was. And then the world became intrigued with science, and we've been really in a scientific age for a long time, probably from time of the Second World War. And until now, we've been very involved in the scientific age, and that moved right into technology. We got into human genetics, then became an area of great fascination, and still is. And we're at the dawn of an era of fascination of quantum physics and the study of human energy. And it's a little bit less scientific, but becoming more so. And the world is becoming incredibly intrigued with it and experimenting with it, and exploring and researching it, and discovering some of the most amazing things. And it's interesting at this time to look into our Torah sources and see, what have we got about this? Where does this fit in? How much of it is valid and how much of it is not? And is it something we know how to access and can use and so on? Now, one of the big things that they're busy with at the moment in the area of energy work is the importance of unblocking channels of energy. Now, we've known about that for a long time in Chinese medicine and things like acupuncture, which is all about unblocking channels of energy, so as to allow physical health to take place. And in the West, we don't understand a whole lot about it, but they certainly do seem to know a whole lot about it. And they're having identified channels of energy in the human body, and they know exactly where those channels are. And the process of acupuncture and various other forms of such treatments are all designed to release blockages which they believe are entirely responsible for disease. So they will acknowledge sometimes the disease has got so advanced so that you need Western medicine, you need drugs. But in the earlier stages, certainly in the earlier stages of medical treatment, and some say even in later stages, they're convinced that the cause of illness is energy blockages in the body, and those energy blockages can be released. Homeopathy probably works on the same kind of concept, releases blockages using other mechanisms, and that's become something that the West has become more and more familiar with it as people have used it more. What they're now busy with is the impact of energy blockages on emotional stuff. And is it possible that a whole lot of our emotional hang-ups and psychological hang-ups are just energy blockages? And it's quite fascinating. It's not spooky stuff. It's quite fascinating. Just this evening, I was talking to my daughter Olivia. So I tried an experiment on her because she has a dog phobia. She was once bitten by a dog, and since then she's been terrified of dogs. So I tried a technique of removing a blockage associated with that I had learned. And I spoke to her tonight. I said, have you met any dogs recently? She said, it's quite amazing. She's not scared. She said, she hasn't met them off the leash yet. And she'll tell me what happens the next time a dog comes running at her. But she used to get very nervous and clutchy the moment she saw a dog. And that's gone. It's fine. And it's interesting that I've been studying some of this recently just to see that processes which take therapy months and months and sometimes years, the people who good at unblocking energy, do it instantly. And it's just very intriguing. It's just very, very intriguing what, where the world is going to with all that. So obviously I've been interested in researching more and more and trying to find out where are we with all this? And what is a chait? Is a chait not an energy block? Isn't that what it is? Now, in the energy studying, they recognize that the human being is a contact point between Shomayim and Eretz. That they understand. And that is that there's a force of divine energy that comes from Hashem, wherever he resides, enters the human being, moves through the human being, and kind of circulates. And that if the energy channels in the human being are open and healthy, that energy circulates in a normal way, and there isn't room for disease, and there isn't room for emotional disturbance. So in their understanding, a tzaddik would be a person whose energy flows are perfectly well functioning. If that's the case, I started wondering, is chait then not a form of energy blockage? Now one can look at it as a blockage, and one can look at it also as a disconnection. A disconnect. If we are a source of energy, not a source of energy, we've spoken before in this year how the human being radiates energy, how we can develop energy and we can radiate energy. That's clear, we've spoken about that. But we also are recipients of energy. Our energy comes from somewhere, we're able to absorb that energy, and energy flows through us.
Well, it's
not so much a destination, because energy never reaches a destination. If you've got a destination, there's no current flow. It only flows through. If you want the electric light bulb to be working, that is not energy. No reason why it wouldn't work like any other energy. Then it would be something else. And that's also intriguing. Is energy the right word for it? It's ruchnius. We call it ruchnius. But we've never really had a physical concept with which to understand ruchnius. So we've kind of understood it in our own way, ruchnius. It's ruchnius, whatever that means. But energy is a beautiful image with which to understand it, and maybe not even an image. Maybe that's really what it is. We know Hashem is a source of energy. We know the world was created through Or. Or was the first creation. We know Or didn't mean light, because light as such was only created when the sun was created on the third day, was it, or the fourth? And yet there was Or on the first day. What was that Or? It was Or Elohi. So what was that? That was energy. So we know that energy plays a huge role in our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, in our Kabbalistic relationship. We know the world was created from energy. We know everything in the world is energy. All that we know. So if energy is the right term, then it works the same as any other energy, and it's not so terribly mystical. It's just that the source is different. But just as energy has to flow, so this energy has to flow. Otherwise it stops, then you've got a blockage. And energy doesn't, if energy isn't flowing, it doesn't work. So we would assume then that there's such a thing as a blockage, or that your connection is cut. What would be the term for a connection that's cut? Yes. Kores. Just cut the connection. That's what happens. It's not a punishment. Because you did this, God gives you kores. No, the Torah just tells you, when you do this, you cut the connection. That's what happens. And when you start looking at it in that way, and you start understanding things, things start making sense. And that's what we're going to look at and explore and have a little bit of fun with now too. See, what's important is, well, you've got to have fun with Torah. Explore it. It's so fascinating. It's so big. It's so beautiful. It's so vast. You can't really sit there all compulsively and obsessed with it. Just have fun. Just explore. Go and look. See. Find out. Try something. See what happens. Now, the pieces of this that are important for us are the three prime links in the human energy. Now, I'm going to use the word energy just so that it's easier for us to relate to and understand. In our terminology, it would be ruchnius. And we can use the word either ruchnius or energy, but let's use the word energy just to get a grasp on it, to try and understand it a little bit. And the Nefesh HaChaim explains in chapter 19... firstly, the linkage between these two parts. So nefesh is the life force. Nefesh is the lowest energy level of the human being. Right? If the nefesh has gone, the zero energy. When the nefesh is gone, the body is dead. So there's no energy is flowing through. And what happens to a body through which no energy is flowing? It's dead. And what else is it? It's tame. I get an idea of what tame is. Tahara is when the energy is flowing. Tuma is when the energy is not flowing. And we can get a bit of a clearer understanding of that. So nefesh is the lowest form of energy. Or one form lower would be when the energy is transposed into matter. So when you look at matter, that's really the low. That's like the body, the goof. But if you're in the energy realm, if you're still in the energy realm, then it's nefesh, the human life force, that which keeps the body going, the blood circulating, the lungs going, the pulse beating. All of that is nefesh force. That's human energy at the nefesh level. One step above that, we call ruach, and one step above that is neshama. So those are the three important links in the human chain, in the human energy chain. Neshama, the top of the neshama. Now, let's go a step further. Each of those three areas has 10 components. Now, you've heard of the 10 sephiros, haven't you? There's the sephiros. Each one of those has 10 links. So think of it as a chain with 10 links. The top link of nefesh. Right? Nefesh is the bottom, it's three chains, each with 10 links. The top link of the bottom chain is attached to the bottom link of the next chain. So the top link of the chains is called keter. It's interesting, in kind of yoga stuff, what do they call the top chakra? Is what? The very, very top. It's crown. It's keter. It becomes quite universal. Once you get into this area, it becomes quite universal. It's something that people grasp. They get it. Keter, the crown. And in English, we call it the crown of the head. It's called the crown of keter. And keter, the ultimate keter, the keter of the top one, which is neshama, where does that link to? To Hashem. That links to Hashem, so that's your source of energy. That's the final contact linked to the big generator. Is the keter of neshama, and then the bottom one is malchus. So the malchus of neshama is linked to the keter of ruach. The malchus of ruach is linked to the keter of nefesh. And that's how it works. Now the interesting thing is, he explains too, is how the blockages happen. If you do something wrong, if you do something that blocks energy, that's really what it is. And again, the energy people, the guys who are studying this, are working out what those things are. And it's the avodas. Of course, they've got the avodas that apply to everybody. They've got the avodas that are universal. And we've got a whole different set. And they operate only on the nefesh level. We're operating on two levels above that as well. So if you do something which is energy blocking, in this kind of terminology that we're using just for fun, that's an avera. If you do that avera with your body, then it blocks the energy. Where in the chain is the energy blocked? In the nefesh chain. Somewhere in the nefesh chain, the energy is blocked. The question is, how do you unblock it? How do you get that fixed? And where does that come from? Well, you've actually got to skip one up. You've got to do the repair work one step ahead. You've actually got to do the repair work at the ruach level. What happens if you damage the ruach level? How can you damage the ruach level? With a thought. So if you block the energy with an action, you're doing it somewhere in nefesh. And the saving grace is the fact that the top link of nefesh is the bottom link of ruach. And you only damaged nefesh, which means the top link is still intact. And the Nefesh HaChaim explains that's the chesed of how Hashem created the world. Because if He didn't create us like that, when we damaged Nefesh, we would die. We would have no capacity for linkage at all. But that's not how He created us. He created us in such a way that the top link of Nefesh is the bottom link of Ruach. And therefore, when we damage Nefesh, the top link is undamaged. So we can get back up there and do the repair work there and re-energize Nefesh. We can refresh Nefesh. It's like fixing a computer. It's amazing. You don't know where to go and how far back to go and where you fix it, and it fixes everything else. It's amazing. If you damage Ruach, and you can do that through speech, and that's why speech is so serious. Say, why is Lashon Hara so terrible? Why are the speech things such terrible? It's a speech. It didn't do anything. Why is it so terrible? It's terrible because you're operating at Ruach level. The energy power is much higher, which means your capacity to damage other people is much bigger, not smaller. Nefesh, you can only damage the person you're in contact with. If you hit somebody, this physical contact, you've damaged that one person at the point of contact. But with Ruach, you can damage the universe. It's huge. And where have you damaged yourself? You've blocked yourself at the Ruach level. Now what do? Well, luckily, the top link of Ruach is the bottom link of Neshama. And you haven't damaged the Neshama. So you can get into the Neshama, and we'll learn how to do that. You can get into the Neshama, you can do the repair work at the Neshama, and you can come down again. The Neshama then will reinforce the Ruach. The Ruach will get healthy, and the Ruach will re-energize the Nefesh, and the Nefesh will be healthy. What happens if you damage the Neshama? How could you damage the Neshama? Sorry? Yeah, but how can you damage? What do you do? So an action damages Nefesh. Dibur, words, damages the Ruach. What damages the Neshama? Thought. We would think it would be the other way around, wouldn't we? In most legal systems, thought is no problem at all. In America, thought is protected by the Constitution. You can think what you want. Not only can you think what you want, you can say what you want. Because they don't have the concept of Neshama and Ruach. Can't do. That's serious. As long as you don't touch anybody, as long as you don't do anything, that's the problem. So, you can abuse another human being, and they can't do anything to you. You can say what you want, and you're free to do that. But if I just push you, and particularly if you've warned me, if you've said, don't put your hand on me, and I just touch you, that's a crime. That's a crime. You can go to jail for that. Because that's an action. So in most secular systems, a thought, that's not serious. Think what you want. Dibur, yeah, it depends. Some sex systems, they're concerned with dibur and some they're not. But action, they're very concerned about. With us, we're very concerned about action. But we're much more concerned about dibur. And the most damaging of all is machshava. A thought. A thought of avodah zarah. A thought against Hashem. A negative thought. That damage is at a neshama level. And at the neshama level, the damage... Well, the interesting thing, explains the Nefesh HaChaim, is you can't destroy the Neshama. So whatever damage you're doing there does not actually damage the Neshama. What does it do? It cuts off. So there's a process for reconnection. The Neshama, especially the top links of the Neshama, always remain undamaged. Because what is the top link of the Neshama? Hashem, thank God. That means there's a part of us that we can't damage ourselves. Hashem protected us from ourselves. And so there's a little spark of your neshama, which is right up there, that you can never touch. And that is the way you can come back. That's the way you can always refresh yourself, is if you can access that spark and get the energy going again, and we'll see how we do that. Of course, if the negative is so, then the other way around is so as well. If you can do much more damage with Ruach than you can with Nefesh, then you can also do much more good with Ruach than you can with Nefesh. And if you can do more good if you can do more damage with Machshava, with Neshama, than you can with Dibur or Maaseh, then you can do more good with Machshava. A good thought is more valuable even than a good action. A good action is only forceful if there's a thought behind it. Then the action becomes very powerful. But the action on its own is only relatively powerful. It's got limited power. A dibur without thought, if you just say something, it doesn't without kavona, you just say a brocha without kavona, or you say something nice to another human being, but you're not even conscious about what you're saying. It just comes out, it doesn't have a lot of force. It's the machshava that makes it valuable. And the machshava on its own can have great impact. You can change the world with thought. You can certainly change your own life with thought. The things that you're thinking, where your head is really where everything is. And that's, again, something which is being learned more and more and more. Probably the first people to really understand that were the motivational sports coaches. Were the first ones to understand the power of machshava. How machshava can determine your performance as a sportsman. That means your whole physical performance is driven by your mind. And that's then extended to a whole lot of other areas, and now they understand in quantum physics, and they understand it in energy work, that the mind is capable of changing your life, of changing your circumstance, of changing the way other people relate to you, and of changing other people altogether. That's the power of the mind.
How does the thought affect anybody else? The actions that we can, the words can, sure. How does the thought do that?
Ever thought of anybody getting stricken by lightning? And that energy can do a lot. It comes from far. In a second, it's there. It's not real. It's not physical. It's gone. You don't see it. Machshava is power. It's energy. That's why I like the image of energy. If you don't think energy, you think, oh, what can a thought do? If you think energy, my goodness, the waves that are going out, and you're thinking, those are so powerful. And we're beginning to understand, you know, people, microwave ovens and things like that, people don't know yet whether they cause damage to people or they don't. We're still waiting to see what happens. And cell phones and things that people hold by their ears, there's concern, there's worry. What do these waves do? There's a recognition that waves have impact. When you're thinking, those are very, very powerful waves, and they've done amazing research already to prove, and that's what a brocha is. How can you give a brocha to somebody who's far away? How can you be mispalel for somebody who's far away? What is tefillah? Tefillah is just brain energy. That's what tefillah is. Linking to Hashem, using that energy, directing it to a specific person who can be anywhere in the world. It makes no difference how near or far the person is. Yes, this physical contact is a bit of extra power, but a brocha can work across thousands of miles in an instant. Doesn't need any other barrier. Yes. Once you damage the top one, you're getting less energy down to the bottom ones. Yes, of course. If you've damaged the energy up there, what's there to come down? There's a blockage. So your nefesh, your body gets affected by that as well. Everything gets affected by that. And this will be, and this in our understanding, this is the cause of disease. Is there a sitter around? Yeah? The sitter there? Thank you. Thanks very much. That's good. It's just simple little things become so easy to understand. Listen to this. Tell me if you've heard this before. V'hayayim shamaa tishmua mitzvotai. Familiar? Asher anachim tzaveh chemayim. If you listen to my mitzvahs, to do what? La'ahavo es Hashem. To love God. What's that? It's a dibur machshava maisa. Machshava. Thought, feeling. When I say thought, it doesn't mean it's in your head. Thought is in your heart too. La'ahavo es Hashem elokichem. U'la'ovdo. What is la'ovdo? That's tefillah. So that's dibur. B'chol levavchem, with all your mind and all your heart. B'chol nafshechem, what's that? That's your body. So if you've got it all aligned, and you serve Hashem with your mind, word, and body, then asati metar artzechem b'yitzo, it'll rain. What's the connection? What's the connection? That's the energy connection. That's Hashem is telling us how the world is programmed. I programmed it in such a way that if your energies are properly aligned, that means you're living in a spiritually correct way, connecting yourself to Hashem and doing nothing that blocks that connection. So you're feeling yourself at all times aligned with Hashem. That's where your thought is. That's where your words are. That's where your deed is. that will affect the weather. In quantum physics, they're discovering this. Human behavior affects the weather. And we should be saying, took you a while to get there. We say this twice a day. But we say we don't really understand it or believe it. And you'll have all sorts of, things will go well. But if your mind goes off track, then blockage. The sky gets you're blocked, the sky is blocked. There's no rain, the earth doesn't give forth. We're the channel, we are the connection through which the energy passes that nourishes the whole world. And if we block that connection, there's no energy. It's as if the world isn't getting what it needs to rain and to grow things and to do whatever it is. That energy comes through us, not from us. It comes from Hashem. But it comes through us. And the Nefesh HaChaim says that's the meaning of the dream of Yaakov, of Sulam Mutzav Arza. That ladder is the human being. V'roshol Magia Hashemayah. But here on the ground, the top of it is in the sky. Umalachi Hashem oylim v'yodim boi, and the angels of Hashem, which is spiritual energy, says the Nefesh HaChaim in his language, oylim v'yodim go up and down, first up and then down. We open the channels, and then Hashem sends the energy down. Bo explains the Nefesh HaChaim because of his actions. Bo doesn't mean goes up and down the ladder. All means because of him. Not in him, but because of him. Because of human action, thought, and deed, the angels are able to move up and down, and you've got a proper energy flow. Start explaining all sorts of things. Start becoming so clear and so obvious. You know?
How do you put together with the definition of Hagar, that Mashavat
The machshava that Hashem doesn't consider as an action is only when it's a plan, when you're planning to do something wrong and didn't do it. It's not talking about avodah zarah. If you have a bad thought like Hashem, a bad plan is not, you intend to do something but you didn't. That's not a bad thought. You haven't abandoned Hashem in that. So until you actually do it, it's not an action. There's some energy in that, but when we talk about a thought that can damage neshama, we're talking about a forbidden thought such as avodah zarah, where it becomes actual thought. Now let's look at the repair process. So what do you do? And that's in chapter 20 in Perichov. Uveur pratus sedi tikunon viskashrusom al yedei ha-teshuva. The way that you fix this by means of teshuva is the following. Shekasher pogam ho'odam b'chinas nafshah. When a person has damaged his nefesh chain, that section of him that is nefesh, or afim gorom chas v'sholom shenifzeku v'nichrusu kol hateisho sfiroseho mechochma ulamata mitkashrus ohanal. Let's analyze that sentence. Or, if not only have you caused a little blockage, pigam. Pigam is you've caused a flaw. There's a flaw. There's something that is causing a blockage that's not flowing well, or even more so, shenifsaku. What does nifsaku mean? Disconnected. Venichrusu, cut off. All nine links. Why nine? Why not ten? Because the top one belongs to the previous, to the one above, belongs to Ruach. So even if you've damaged or cut off all nine links of your nefesh chain, and you've dropped to real low levels. And now you can feel this. When you become sensitive to it, you can feel it. You feel it when you should have done something right and you didn't. And it's not guilt that you're feeling. And you feel it when you've done something wrong and you shouldn't have done it. It's not guilt. In fact, guilt stops you from feeling it. The guilt should come much later. The first thing you should feel when you've done something wrong is distance from the energy blockage. Just it's not flowing. You should feel that, and when you become conscious of it, you start feeling it. It's not going. Something's not right, and you start noticing it in the ease of your life. All of a sudden, things aren't going quite right. You can't find something that you thought you was left in a certain place, and something gets lost somewhere else, and you can't find the parking spots, and you lose your wallets, and you get it comes back, and you've lost your credit cards, and just, you know, all of that's just not working. Things are just not going right. This is when this is happening. When the connection is damaged. How do you fix it? As al yidei vidui devorim, be emes me'umko delibe, you need to do vidui. So vidui is the confession part of teshuva. Why is that? Well, why do we do vidui? Why does vidui do it? But akimas fosov, you've got to pronounce it with your lips. Because that is bechinas nefesh deruach. Because if you're speaking, then where are you operating? In ruach. But the fact that you're moving your lips is nefesh. So when you're speaking, moving your lips, where are you actually functioning? At the top link of nefesh and the bottom link of ruach. That's where you're functioning. And that hasn't been damaged. So vidui is your way of recreating a connection between nefesh and ruach. Vidui is what you use. Vidui means to pronounce the words and articulate them. Pronounce the words and articulate them. I was doing some research with a group of people on this energy stuff, which was so interesting, and they were showing me a physical method of something like acupuncture, of removing energy blockages, emotional energy blockages. But they said, when you do this, you've also got to say certain things. Now the things you've got to say are it's vidui stuff. It's got to be associated with the cause of the blockage. So you've actually got to find out the cause of the block. It's quite an interesting process. You've got to actually figure out. It's tshuva. You've actually got to go very deeply inside yourself, track the blockage to its origins, to the avero that originally caused it. And then there's a physical, like an acupressure kind of an action. And they taught, but you've got to say, you've got to articulate. And I said to them, why have you got to articulate? They said, we don't know why you do, but it makes it much better, much more powerful if you do. Some of the vibrations, the resonance, I don't know why. Why is it? Why do you have to articulate? Because the only way you can fix a blockage in nefesh is to get into ruach. That means you've got to be using kach hadibur. And it's got to be the nefesh part of dibur, so you've got to articulate it. You can't just think the words. You've actually got to say the words. And they make you say the words very emotionally. What does he say you've got to say? Vidu dvorim be'emes me'umko delibo. So I watched them doing this, and one of the therapists was saying to the person that they were doing it on at that time, no, that you've got to say it, you've got to feel it much more than that, and the feeling has to come out in the words. It was a young woman that they were doing it, and eventually she got it, and she just burst into tears. When she finally actually articulated what it was, me'umko delibo, she burst into tears at that moment. And her phobia went. Literally, we measured it. Phobia went, finished, gone. And we've had follow-up contact with her. It's gone, finished, gone for good. It's absolutely astonishing what they're discovering scientifically. They're just doing it by experimentation. They're playing. And we've got it in Kabbalah. So yes, you do need to articulate it. That's vidui. Vidui is you've got to get down, you've got to get to the thing that you did that's causing the blockage. You've got to confront it, and me'umke delibo, and with emes, you've got to confront it with absolute truth, and understand the reason things aren't going right is because I'm not connected well to Hashem. Why am I not connected well to Hashem? Because I damaged my nefesh. When did I damage my nefesh? 2 weeks ago on Wednesday at 11 o'clock in the morning, I did such and such. That was the point that happened. And I'm really sorry because look what I've missed out on. Look what connection I've missed out on during this time. And I'm sorry. And I'm sorry to my nefesh. And I'm sorry to my ruach. And I'm sorry to my neshama. And I'm sorry to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm sorry to myself. I've done myself out of it. And you say all that. And now you're rebuilding connection at that link at the bottom of ruach. By moving your lips, using that bottom link of ruach, me'orer b'kol dvorim sheloi, by the voice of his words, the vibration of his words, he arouses ad le'elo u'le'elo, that travels all the way up, because it's energy. So where does that energy go? All the way right to the top of your chain, which is where? Hashem. That's true. The goyrem, so now what happens? Now your tshuva has gone all the way up the chain, you've been able to catch that bottom link, right? Just think of it. There you're kind of swinging on the bottom, because that's life. We're kind of holding on to the bottom of the nefesh link, and we're swinging along with this chasm beneath us. And when we let go, we die. So we hang on for dear life. And now we've done something that's damaged that chain. So we can grab on, we can kind of, there's just half bit of chain left, we can get right back to that last link of nefesh, and we can get there, we can send the message all the way up, and we get sent another nefesh chain down. The energy comes down again. How does that work? Look what he says. The goyrem she is atzel tosefes kedusho mimenu yisbarach shmo. So extra kedusho comes from Hashem. Ad shoresh haneshoma tchila, it starts at the root of the neshoma, which is the keser. The crown of your neshoma is the bottom link of Hashem, so to say. That's where it starts. Umisham l'nishmasoi, and that energizes your neshoma. Veruchoi, and that energizes your ruach. Veharuach mavhik oiroi hagodol, and the ruach radiates its powerful energy. And I translate or not as light, because it isn't light. It's energy. You don't see light, you don't see sparks. There are times when you can. But this is or. When we're talking about or here, we're talking about powerful energy. The ruach then amplifies that energy. And nishpa olav, which it got, the ruach got it from the neshama, and the ruach now radiates that gamal bechinas hanefesh down to the nefesh. So you've accessed a source of energy through the Avera. You've done tshuva using vidui. That tshuva has gone all the way up to Hashem. Kedusha comes down and rebuilds your contacts at the nefesh level. And now things go back to normal again. Now things are okay again. Mitzad hit kashrus shenishar adayin beinehem, using that little connection that still remained, it extinguishes all the negative forces and the tumor, and it unlocks all the locked up energy that was there, reattaching them as they were in the beginning with the bechina of ruach, with the linkage of ruach. That's something we can do ourselves. That's avoida. That's the avoida of vidui that we can do ourselves, and we do that not once a year on Rosh Hashanah. That's something you should do the moment you feel the blockage. The moment you feel you've lost touch, and as you become conscious of it, you'll see, you'll start feeling it. The moment you feel you've lost touch, start tracking. When did I lose touch? At what point? Get to the point at which you lost touch. Take some time out. Do a real vidui. The emes me'umko deliva. Pause a little bit. Feel the energy coming down. And see the difference. See what's just happened. You try it, experiment with it, play with it. It's the most amazing thing. The chen, and the same applies. In pogam v'kilkel b'chinas ruchoy. If you did the same with ruach, b'diburim asher lo tovim. And now, if your problem is at a higher level, now you might find that it wasn't in nefesh that the blockages are. The blockages is in ruach, because it was from something you said that you shouldn't have said. Now this again, believe it or not, the energy people are getting without Torah. They're realizing that negative words block energy. Just to say something nasty, Loshon Hora, Sheker, Nivul Peh. They've identified that these things are blockages. They block the energy. They know it because they've measured it. They've tested it. So if you see that that's happened, or b'shar avoynus atzluyim b'bchinas haruach, or other ruach-related sins, or vitul Torah k'neged kulam, one is vitul Torah, you could have been learning, you could have been thinking wonderful thoughts, you could have been reflecting, you could have been contemplating, and you weren't doing so at that time, that causes damage at the ruach level. V'higbilu mazeh kach ruach atzumah rachmanu litzlan, and what, when you've got blockages, it doesn't just stay blocked, then you get tumor coming in. So you get a negative force, you get negative energy. It's not that you've got no energy. When there's blockage, negative energy starts coming in, and you feel depressed, and you feel tired, and you feel you've got no energy, and you're more interested in doing stupid things, and wasting time, and watching television, and crazy things. It just doesn't make any sense to the neshama. Why would you do that? What for? What purpose? But you've got ruach atumah's working. You've got a negative energy that's looking for outlets. It's, you, that, that's you've got to try and get hold of yourself. And you find that that now affects your nefesh. Don't think that if your ruach is damaged, that your nefesh won't feel it. You won't have the same physical energy. Because the nefesh, bodily energy, gets its force from the ruach. So now what do we use for tshuva? So now vidui we can't use, we want to go one step higher. Vidui works if the problem's in nefesh, and you need to go to the top link of nefesh, which is the bottom link of ruach, that's vidui. But now your problem's in ruach, so vidui won't help. Your vidui is blocked. You can vidui as long as you want, nothing will happen. You've first got to fix the ruach, which means you've got to go to the top link of the ruach, which is still intact, because it's the bottom link of neshama. So what do you have to fix it with? Thought. What thought are you going to use? That's where charoto comes in. Remorse. That's the second stage of tshuva. Believe. Feel it. You don't have to say anything. Say afterwards. But first the charoto. Or in the process of tshuva, the way it is in the Rambam and the Shari Tshuva, you actually do the vidui first, but then you get to the charoto. Some not, according to others, you do the charoto first. But according to the Nefesh HaChaim, it depends what you're working on. Are you working on a ruach sin and a ruach avera, in which case you work with charoto? If you're working on a nefesh avera, you work with vidui. Umismarmer al godel cheto, you've got to feel pain. You've got to feel emotional pain if you're going to fix at an emotional level, because neshama is emotion. When we're getting up there trying to fix the ruach issues, you've got to fix it at one level higher, and that's thought. By thought, emotions are included in thought. Feelings are part of thought, not just intellectual analysis. When we talk about thought, we're talking about anything which isn't maise or dibur. It's either deed, it's words, or it's in the realm of machshava, which is thought and feeling. So you've got to fix it with feeling. You've got to get into that avera, and you've got to feel what's happened. And you've got to feel pain in your chest. If you don't feel pain in your chest, there isn't enough. You actually can't repair it. Kinyan tzaak elibam. Umahara iru tshuva. And then you think about tshuva. The machshava shi mishkan itzera neshama. With using your powers of thought, you envision the repaired life. Envision yourself as you want to be. Envision yourself as you crave to be. Envision yourself as you would be if you weren't messed up. Get that clear in your mind. Morer gamkin adl elo, goes all the way up. Lashpia tchila to sefes kedusha of oral shorish and neshama. Again, when the power comes down from the shorish kedusha to the neshama, misham nishmosa, the neshama itself. V'imavhek is zivoro shnishbo alor gam ala v'chinas ha'ruach. V'zivke elokim ruach nishboro. And that's what it means, the posuk, that the godly sacrifices, or sacrifices for God, a ruach nishbora, a broken heart. That's a korban. And korban means lekarev, to reconnect yourself. And you reconnect yourself not by going through the ritual of a korban, that's part of it in the days where there were korbanos. But zivke lekim ruach nishbora, if you've got a broken heart over the avera, not if you're broken hearted because your dog died. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a ruach nishbora because of what I've done wrong, my disconnection. Has caused me a ruach nishbora. So you need quiet time. You've got to sit and think about it and dwell on it and feel that pain. Not distract yourself. The thing we naturally do is, what do when we've got a headache? You take a tablet and you miss the whole point. Like my doctor said to me a little while ago, you know, your cholesterol is a little bit high. We should probably put you on something. I said, why put me on something? Why would I do that? He said, what do you mean? That's what you do when your cholesterol is a little high. You take something. I said, why do you think Hashem has made my cholesterol high? Is it possible that it means I'm doing something wrong? He said, yeah, if you do some more exercise, you'd watch your diet, you'd lose a bit more weight, you would be fine, your cholesterol wouldn't be a problem. So I said, then why aren't you telling me to do that? Western medicine is, God's talking to you, block your ears. And then you won't hear it and it'll all be fine. God's saying, watch out. And you're saying, I don't want to hear, give me a pill. Got a headache, give me a pill. I've got ruach problems, I've got neshama problems, let me go and watch TV. Forget about it. That's what we do when we miss the opportunities. Sit with the pain, because the pain reconnects you. And through that reconnection, your whole life changes. Why would you lose an opportunity to change your life? The shover koach ruach hatzuma, that what you're doing when you're feeling that broken heart, is you're not breaking your heart. You're breaking the koach hatzuma. It feels like you're breaking your heart because it's penetrated your heart. But that's what you're smashing. You are smashing something. You're smashing that koach hatzuma, which filled the place that used to be occupied by Kedusha when you were connected. When you disconnect, there's a vacuum. The vacuum gets filled by koach hatzuma. And the pain you feel is shattering that tumor. And that's a good kind of pain, not a bad pain. And that way you cleanse yourself. Getting connected with your neshama once again. And then you go further. I want to go just a little bit further to at least finish this piece off. Let's go a step higher. Now what happens if you sin with a bad thought? And you lose the sparkle of your neshama. It was shining. There was an aura about you. And now a bad thought damages that aura. As on your day, what are you going to fix it with? That's what the study of Torah can do. Through the study of Torah, you're fixing at the neshama level, the top of the neshama level, the neshama gets fixed, ruach gets fixed, nefesh gets fixed. And from that power, from the neshama, that also goes to the ruach and to the nefesh, and everything starts feeling better as a result of that. Because that might not be where the problem is. You need to fix something on a physical level, it's not going to help to start up there. You've got to do physical repair work. If you need to do dibur repair work, you've got to work if you've damaged dibur, you've got to work with your emotions, you've got to get the pain. Each place you've got to find out what it is. It's not like taking kind of a general antibiotic that covers everything. In a sense, Torah does that to a bit, but you want to be more specific if you really want to make those connections, polish them up and have them really working well. The Gemara says, if you answer Amen Yeheshmei Rabbo with all your energy, that doesn't mean you yell and scream, that doesn't mean what it means. You use all your energy, it's your mind. What does all your energy mean? Your body, your words, your minds, your feeling. You put your all into Amen Yeheshmei Rabbo. That your life could change, even if there was some bad things were decreed, that can change, even if you've had a touch of Avodah Zarah. That's the power of just the phrase of Amen Yeheshmei Rabbo. Why? And he explains very briefly what Yeheshmei Rabbo is. And he says, just the equivalent in the human being of these three areas, so we said, Neshama, Ruach, Nefesh. There are three similar areas in the universe, in the world. The one is called Brio, it's the highest form of the world, Yetziro and Asiyo. So Asiyo is the physical world in which we kind of normally operate. Yetziro is the world of ideas. Brio is the world of thoughts. You know, Yetziro is the world of formed ideas, articulated ideas. Brio is the world of thought. And then Atzilus, above that, is really the linkage to Hashem. So just as the human being has these three sections linked to Hashem, so the universe has these three sections linked to Hashem. The Zeo, and that's what we mean in Yeheshmei Rabbo. Yeheshmei Rabbo Mevorach, Hashem's blessed name, she is Atzel Brocha v'tesefes Kedusha Mimeni Yisbarashma. Now we understand what Brocha is. Some of you will remember we had it in the Nefesh HaChaim already in one of the earlier shiur when we talked about Brocha and the idea of a Brecha, a reservoir of energy that you can tap. There's a whole, all this energy is there. You've got to just open the channel so that it comes through. That's what Brocha is. Brocha is not creating something new. Brocha is just opening the channels and letting the energy flow through. That's what Brocha is. She satzel Brocha v'tesefes Kedusha Mimeni Yisbarash Shmur. Omein Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevoirach means Ribbono Shel Olam, open the channels. Clear the channels so that the brocha can come. Adla Olam, to the world, who Olam Ha'atzilus, the world, the Olam, that's Hashem's world, the top world. U'misham gam la'olmei, and to the worlds, what are the next two? Bria and Yetzirah. Al-Mayo is the last world, to Olam Ha'asiyah. So what we're saying over there is we're trying to shatter the blockages in all four worlds. Yesh merabba mevorach, la'olam, the top world, la'olme, the next two worlds, al-Mayo, the fourth world. And that that energy should be able to come out, come down all the way. And when you have the right kavona to do that, says the Nefesh HaChaim, that impacts all of your everything within you. It causes a cleansing of all sins and blockages within you. No matter where in the three sections of the chain the Avera is, they're gone, knocked out. That's real tshuva. You can say, do it in an instant. Doesn't even have to be a long process. If you can put your all into an Armenia Heshmer Rabbah, you can clear that those blockages just by saying that. That can actually do that. And you can open the channels of Kedusha, and you get Brocha from the Rebbeinu Shalom, and things are very different. That's the... It goes on and on, and it's beautiful and it's fascinating. But I just want to at least share this with you, because it's so practical. If you just try it. Just try it. But you've got to, it needs taking time. It's not the kind of thing you can just do casually. You actually have got to take it seriously enough to say, I want to take time. I want to actually try this out. And take yourself some time. It's all attitude, isn't it? It's all attitude. So you've got to take the time, and you've got to pick something. Just take something that's bothering you. Try and feel. I'm feeling disconnected. Try and get deeper into it. Try and feel. When did this start? What is this? What's this about? Just spend time with yourself. Getting deeper and deeper. Until you get to the point where you say, ah, I know exactly what it is and when it happened. And see what you're able to release. As a result of getting to that point, doing a vidui. If it's an area of dibur, then doing charota. If it's an area of makshova, then working with Torah. And actually focusing on clearing that blockage that was created by that particular activity or lack of activity that caused it in the first place, and just feel the difference. And if you want to let me know how you find it, because you should find some really interesting things happening. And by the way, you can do it with physical things too. Next time you have a headache, try it. Just understand, if this is all right and it all links together, then you have a headache. Why have you got a headache? There's a blockage somewhere. Where is the blockage? It's either in Nefesh, or it's in Ruach, or it's in the Neshama. Try and track it. Try and figure out what did you do or not do that caused the blockage when the headache started. And try and see if you can deal with it that way. And then deep in your heart and feel it and do it and repair it. Try and repair it yourself. You know what an empowering thing that is? That you can actually repair yourself with your own mind. Because you're able to get what it is and to restore your sense of well being. But what's important is you've got to have a sense of well being, otherwise you've got nothing to compare it to. You've got to have a sense of well being so that you can know when you're off. And you should just do an indicator every now and then. You should have an imaginary gauge. Think of yourself when you're at your best. It's a worthwhile thing to do. Think of yourself when you're at your best, when you're feeling just great. You're feeling healthy, you're feeling positive, you're feeling confident, you're feeling radiant. You're just feeling fantastic. Even if that feeling was 25 years ago, just get that feeling back. And when you've got that feeling, that's your kind of 10 on your scale. And then just check in with yourself. So where am I today? Where am I right now? 4. Wow. What's going on? What's going on? I'm blocked out. I'm not connected. What do I need to do? And start working on that. And see what it does. Sometimes it's physical things. Sometimes it's spiritual things. See what's going on. Why the blockage? Why the lack of connection? And address it at its source. And start seeing what impact that has, not only on how you're feeling, but then on how people start responding to you, how the world starts responding to you. Because when you've got that energy working, that radiates out all over the place. and you find that everything starts working a little bit better, and everything starts responding a little bit better. Just, you don't have to believe me. This is not about fairy tales or belief. Try it out. If it doesn't work for you, then you're free to think either I'm a liar, or I'm a fantasizer, or it works for me and it doesn't work for you. You can think whatever you want. It doesn't matter. But first try it. First work with it. And see whether you can capture it. See whether you can get it. And what that does and what power that gives you and what joy that gives you to be able to do these things and to be able to manage these differences. Yes?